You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Jack Grimsey. Jack is a Bundesliga writer for Paste Magazine and others, and he's joined me to discuss, well, what else? Atletico and Leverkusen in the Champions League round of 16. The first leg is on Tuesday, and this podcast will preview that game and the tie in general. What's changed at Leverkusen in the last 2 years since these two met in 2015 in a tie that went all the way down to penalties? We'll find out. Plus, Kevin Gamero's hat trick at the weekend. Quite impressive. Will it be enough for him to start against Leverkusen on Tuesday? And Jan Oblak's back. Yay! All that and more after this.
What's up?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. Just hanging out at home tonight. Quiet Sunday night in before school tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not really.
Excited for the game?
Yeah, I am. A bit nervous, as ever, but it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know, they announced it, obviously, and it's like, oh, wow, like, we always, I mean, I guess the last year just, but it's crazy, like, or 2 years ago, the same fixture.
Yeah, it was this one, and then Bayern and Arsenal again, and there was PSG and Barcelona again. They did a lot of repeats in this draw, which is kind of annoying, but at the same time, kind of cool.
I don't know, the Barca result is amazing.
That was just phenomenal. I had David Cartledge on the last one, last Colchonero Chat I did, and we were talking about just how shocking it was before we went on. We couldn't believe it.
No, yeah, honestly, no, it was crazy watching it at work. Like, everyone was like freaking out.
Yeah, 4-0, and then Barcelona, they almost didn't win today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it was a bad game.
Oh, they were terrible. Leganés played really well. They probably deserved the draw, but
they had a couple chances that they could have scored, though.
Yeah, like, they did.
But yeah, it was too bad. But Ter Stegen, a couple good saves.
He did. He made a couple really good ones, especially when it was 1-1, and Leganés tried again. That penalty though, that hurt him. And then Elzar had that chance like in stoppage time that just whisked past the post. Crazy. Yeah, that was fun. So congratulations on being sports now. That's fantastic for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, what do they got you doing there?
Right now I'm just doing media training, so like learning how to like cut games and shit on their server and just the technology of it. And then I'll be moving to production on the extra, I don't know yet, either weekday or weekend.
Awesome.
Like next week.
That sounds great. Yeah, and what was I gonna say? Yeah, that's really cool though. And you're liking it? That's good.
Yeah, it's sweet. Like Miami's cool.
Oh yeah, you're in Miami. That's right. Yeah, I bet you're liking it there.
I guess it's warm. It's not really cool.
Yeah, true. Yeah, weather in Florida. Yeah. Well, I'm out in Arizona, so I know all about the warmth.
Yeah, the desert.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out of here. I really can't.
Wait, where are you in Arizona?
I'm in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm about 15-20 minutes from downtown Phoenix.
Because I know like Flagstaff, it could be cold in the winter.
Yeah, Flagstaff. I have a good friend who goes to school up there. Another one who just graduated. Flagstaff, it snows. So.
Yeah.
It snows up north, and that's really really cool. So not as much down here when it gets to 110 in the summer, but as a local, you get used to it. It's not humid like you guys are going to have in Miami.
Yeah, I remember one time we went to a Diamondbacks game, like my family, and we went to like eat afterwards, and we came out and it was still like 95 and it was midnight. And I was like, how is this possible?
Yep, that happens.
It's kind of funny. But yeah, I was in Palm Springs like 2 years ago, and it's equally hellish.
Yes.
So hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so
for the pod,
yeah, I was gonna say, what's your main topics, I guess?
Yeah, I want to talk about the game yesterday first, not for very long, because for like 70 minutes it was terrible.
Oh, sorry, you just like the first part of your sentence got cut off before you said 70 minutes.
Yeah. I want to talk about the game yesterday that he played. Not for terribly long, though, because it was this first 70 minutes were awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And then I got a bunch of questions for you because you're the German football guy. You're the German football guy, so I want to ask you a bunch of questions about Leverkusen. Like, what's changed? How can they beat Atletico, etc.?
Like, what's changed from the last time they played?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Like, from the last time they played two years ago and so on.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Awesome. So let's start with the Atleti's game yesterday before we move into talking all about Tuesday. Atleti traveled to El Moinón to take on Sporting Gijón. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this game because it was, for about 70 minutes, a disaster. But there was about 20 minutes there that were just exhilarating.
Yeah, Jeremy, it was the Gamero show, I guess, right at the end of the game. Kevin Gamero with a hat trick in less than 5 minutes.
I timed it at 4:44, and some people had it like at 4:47, some people had it at 4:43, whatever. It was still the quickest hat trick in more than 20 years in La Liga.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, he had a chance to open the scoring, or open his goal scoring for the day a little bit earlier. And it could have gone for, like, what, it wasn't even given as a foul, was it?
No, it wasn't. Nope.
So, yeah, that earlier chance, which I guess would have wrecked his 5-minute hat trick, but he could have had 4 goals, really. And the way he's playing now, you almost expect him to score with every shot, so that wasn't really a surprise.
Yeah, that hasn't really been a theme with Gamero this season. There's been kind of good Kevin and bad Kevin. This was the good Kevin. He came on about the hour mark with the scores level at 1-1 as Diego Simeone went to kind of shuffle the pack a little bit. Fernando Torres came off and Gamero came on, and then Angel Correa came off as well. Who replaced him?
Correa wasn't very good.
No, he wasn't. Saul replaced him.
I think Thomas came on for him, right?
Saul replaced Correa, and then Tomas came on for Carrasco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was weird. Atleti came out in a really attacking 11 with just a couple rotations. The first half, they were really, really bad. Sporting.
There was Koke in central midfield. I don't know. I don't really like that still.
Koke at central midfield? I think it's his best position.
I don't know. I guess that's one thing that's changed since the Leverkusen game, which you're going to get to last time. But he was playing on the wing more then, I think.
Good foreshadowing there, by the way. Well done.
Yeah, you like good transition. Sorry, I was taking a drink of water.
I like the transition game here. It's strong with you.
Yeah, but outside of Gamero's hat trick, I think the beginning of the game was really worrying for Atleti.
Yeah. Sporting have a new manager in Ruby, and he's a guy whose teams are really organized and score just to spite you. And that was really what the first half was like. Very organized. Atletico were not at the races. It was very intense, and Sporting were clearly feeding off the energy, the atmosphere at El Molinón. It was goalless at halftime, and really Atleti were kind of lucky. And then instantly off the restart, Yannick Carrasco scores. 13 seconds into the second half as this Gabby long ball knocks off Torres, and then Carrasco races in. Cuellar made the initial save, but it was going to go in anyway. Carrasco made sure it was going in by sweeping it home with his right foot.
Yeah, and obviously they caught him by surprise with that, but they could only hold the lead for really 3 minutes.
Yep, it was 3 minutes, and Sergio Alvarez on a shot that was like a pinball hit off. It went through Carrasco's legs. Then I think it hit off Felipe, then Traore, and then past Stefan Savage, who was actually positioned well to clear it off the line, but it deflected past him. So it was 1-1, and it would stay like that for about half an hour. And then Gamero got going, scored his first goal off a beautiful through ball from Griezmann, left-footed finish into an open net as he rounded Cuellar. Then, I want to make sure I get the times right, that was at 79 minutes and 33 seconds, I believe. And then the next one came, I think, at 80 minutes and 54 seconds. And this was after Tomas knocked down a pass meant for Fernando Amorebieta. He closed down on him, knocked the ball to Gamero, and he finished with the right foot. And that was it. Yeah,
80. Yeah, two substitutes combining for a goal. Like,
yep.
You know, that's got to feel good for Simeone, who, I mean, it's been a tough season for Atleti.
Yeah, it has not been easy, and this game kind of showed both sides of that. The first half was why Atleti have kind of comparatively struggled in the league this season. The second half is why they're still in a good position to make the Champions League next year. So that was at 80-53. Yeah, like
before the 80th minute, I guess. Hold on, let me go back. At minute 79, they were getting outshot 14-8. Atleti were by Sporting Gijón.
Yep, and defensively, they got solid as the game went along. I think the change in midfield when Cholo went to a Saul, Thomas, Koke. Actually, let me get the order right. He went to a Gabby and Saul in the middle with Koke and Thomas on the flanks, and that midfield is not usually really conducive to helping Atleti attack. But it really shut Sporting down. They didn't have a really clear chance after about the 60th minute and after Saul came on.
Yeah, exactly. And once Atleti, I guess, kind of got the formula, like, it paid off really at the end.
Yeah, they really wrestled control away from Sporting. And Thomas and Gamero combining for that second goal. Then Gamero scores the third on a great long ball from Griezmann, his second assist for Gamero. Another right-footed finish, and in the blink of an eye, it's 4-1.
Yeah, and I think that was the run where his top speed was clocked at like 34 kilometers. I saw he had like the fastest in the game. I was like, wow.
I did not see that. Good Lord. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts. I'm not sure if it was that or on something else, but still, that's incredible. And that playing that long ball over the top, two assists for Griezmann, good game. And now Gamero's level on goals with him for the season.
Yeah, he is, and he's getting close to about what I think we expected at Enzo de Calderon, and what I think a lot of fans expected. He's getting close to the dozen 14 goals that were really needed when he was signed. He's up to 9 this year, along with Griezmann. So
yeah, he maybe expected a little more from Griezmann, but
yeah, definitely, he's had a disappointing season.
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems to me like Atletico turning it around. Obviously, at the beginning of the season was tough.
Unbeaten runs up to 8 now, and they are in fourth, 4 points clear of Sociedad, who lost at home to Villarreal on Sunday morning. Did you see? You saw that goal, right? The Castillejo goal. That was a sensational cross from Yame Costa. That was insane.
Yeah. Really, really good way to snatch 3 points.
Yes. That was just a great, great setup and a great goal. So Atletico in fourth, 4 points behind Sevilla, but 4 points clear of Sociedad, and get a little breathing room with that result. And Barcelona are next.
Yeah, 4 points and 20 goals better than Sociedad.
Yeah, plus 24 goal difference for Atletico, plus 4 for Sociedad.
Yeah.
But no, Atleti are turning it around, as you mentioned. It's been a very much a Jekyll and Hyde season for Atletico, who, you know, have been in the top three since Simeone came back to manage. And right now they're in fourth, but with Sevilla a little shaky at late, Barcelona definitely shaky of late. You never know if Atletico keep this up, keep picking up points at a decent clip. Maybe the top three is still a possibility.
Yeah, maybe, but that's so tough after Champions League midweek. Like,
definitely.
So it's but you do have Tuesday to Sunday, so it could be worse. Then again, Leverkusen, they did play on Friday.
Yeah, and they
beat Augsburg 3-1. Chicharito with 2 goals. They've had also a Jekyll and Hyde season, honestly.
Yeah, let's talk about them now. So let's get on with this. Jack, you are the German football guy. You're here for a reason.
I was actually at Leverkusen in September as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like they had I guess it was a U.S. media tour, English media tour. There are some people there from England as well that came out to the club for the Augsburg game, which is actually the reverse fixture of what they just played on Friday. So yeah, when I was there, they missed a penalty and drew 0-0, and it was big crisis at the club because they had 4 points in four games. But I don't know. Like, they've lost two matches three different times this season. They've 9 losses. They're not doing very well in the league at this point. They're in eighth, I guess. But last year it was kind of the same. It was the same thing from them. They won 8 out of 9 down the stretch to be able to get back to the Champions League. So they're here. They did well enough in the group. They advanced out of the group. Spurs did not make it, and you know, I don't know. It's been so weird in the league. 3 weeks ago, they lost to Hamburg.
Yeah.
We were perennially at the bottom of the table, but 2 wins in a row has them in good form ahead of the Champions League game, which is obviously what their focus is going to be a little more on with. They're not out of the Champions League places in the league this early. They're only 7 points behind Hoffenheim, but also really like the priority maybe would be the Champions League if something. That said, they don't have the squad to win it, but that can't prevent you from getting to the final. You know, anything's possible. But sure. Sorry, anyway, back to what's happened there recently. Hakan Çalhanoğlu has been banned for the rest of the season.
Yes, he has.
Something that happened 4 years ago, so he won't be able to miss the final penalty to send you through to the next round like last time.
Wasn't that Kiesling who missed the final one?
Oh, yeah, I guess
it was Kiesling, yeah.
Çalhanoğlu missed.
He did miss
penalty in that shootout.
Yeah, so Çalhanoğlu is, well, first of all, there was a time, it's hard to believe, that Hamburg were champions of Europe. That's very hard to believe. That was well before I was born.
When my team, Aston Villa, were champions of
Europe. The year before. Yes. Yeah. Ah, good times that I wasn't alive for, but still. Yeah, so.
Now we're going to get relegated to back.
Yeah, Villa are, God, they're in a bad way.
Yes.
Yeah, terribly sorry for that. But you talk about a Jekyll and Hyde season. Leverkusen are having one. 9 wins, 3 draws, 9 losses in the Bundesliga. 30 points. They're in 8th, but just 4 points off a European place and 7, as Jack said, off 4th place, which is currently occupied by Hoffenheim, who have lost just twice this season. Çalhanoğlu got suspended for something that happened when he was, I think, 17. He had a deal agreed with another club. I think it was Trabzonspor in Turkey.
Yeah, he was at Karlsruhe.
Yeah.
And he had a deal with Trabzonspor, and then Hamburg bought him.
And now, the cast has come back with fury and banned him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, 4 years later. So now, 2 clubs later, is being punished.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a bad time of the year for them.
They took their sweet time.
You know, didn't have a spectacular group, but they didn't lose either. They had 4 draws and 2 wins.
Yeah, they.
Simple. You know, but I miss him. It's been Çalhanoğlu's probably his best season since moving to Leverkusen. He has 6 goals and 5 assists in 15 games.
And a goal and 2 assists in the Champions League, too. So I guess that would be my first question. How big a loss is he, and who has stepped up or who's going to step up in his absence?
Yeah, and really the kid who's been playing has been Kai Havertz, who he just turned 17 last summer. So.
Wow.
He's one of the young guys, but he's starting to play in the Bundesliga. That's what Leverkusen's policy is, bringing through youth that was developed at their own system. So, yeah, he's been there since he's 11, I think, 11 or 12. And now he's played 13 times in the Bundesliga, 4 assists this year. I think he had another really good one this weekend.
He's just 17, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like he hadn't played yet when I was there in September. Yeah, I guess he made his first appearance in October. His first start was in November, but their managing director or CEO, Michael Schade, said they brought through the season. So they've been planning it for a while. And like last year was really, I mean, Julian Brandt had played before, but last year was kind of his like coming out party, I guess.
Sure. So,
like, for lack of a better term, but yeah, his time when he showed up on the big stage.
So they have Havertz, who's just 17 years old, Julian Brandt as well. Who else can replicate? I guess it's going to be a by committee. Çalhanoğlu's expertise on set pieces, on assists, even penalties.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm not sure. They're not going to be able to replace his free kick taking ability. But luckily for Leverkusen, is that Karim Bellarabi just returned from injury, finally came back to full fitness. He scored their other goal on Friday. It was actually the 50,000th in Bundesliga history. So he's going down for that. But he offers a dimension that they didn't really have before. He's just a pure pace threat, just speed to burn down the right wing. And they have Kevin Volland and Brandt, who are quick, but they're not the same kind of player.
Yeah,
that can offer that natural width, and then Chicharito, Fox in the box, I guess, can try to get on some of those crosses.
That would be Football Manager legend Kevin Volland.
Yeah, I interviewed him and Brandt for the same piece for who scored in the fall. So it was cool to talk to him.
Yeah, that's awesome. So they could play a big part in this tie. And speaking of this tie, in terms of Europe, this will be the fifth and sixth meetings between Atleti and Leverkusen. One win for Atleti, one loss and two draws. Those were both in the Europa League group stage back in 2011. How much have things changed from the Leverkusen side since the round of 16 2 years ago? What's changed for the good, what for the better, what's changed for the worse?
Well, I think last time they still had Son, right?
Yeah.
And he's a pretty big loss. He was a goal threat from the wing, which they haven't exactly replaced. Brandt had a really good stretch at the end of last season and is becoming more of that player, but just two goals from this season, 21 games, so it's like he hasn't been able to contribute maybe as much as they hoped. And that said, they've still been able to bring in some more young players. Like, you look at right back Benjamin Henrichs, he is 19, so it's really been his first year in the big time. And then, I mean, I guess at left back you still have Wendell, but I think the center backs are something that's different for sure. Omer Toprak is still around, but he wasn't even in the squad for the weekend game. It was Yedvay who maybe was in the squad. I'm not sure. Let me look at their page really quick.
And Yedvay is like, Dragovic, 21 now.
Dragovic is a new signing this year playing the other center back. And I guess, yeah, Bender came back from injury. He was injured more at the beginning of the year. So that's been important, and he'll be a little bit behind where Çalhanoğlu was. But yeah, it was Spahic and Papadopoulos, who's been scoring like crazy for Hamburg lately. He scored against Leverkusen the winner, and then he scored against Leipzig, who had him on loan the first half of the year. But yeah, so he's not around, and yeah, Bellarabi back on the wing. He had an assist in when Leverkusen won this fixture 2 years ago.
So we're looking at a team now that is younger, is more actively playing younger players, getting a couple key guys back from injury, but there is relatively more inexperience in certain areas of the squad. From an Atleti standpoint, this is a much more technically gifted Atleti team than the one that eliminated Leverkusen 2 years ago. That team 2 years ago started Cani and Mario Suarez in the second leg at the Calderon.
Wow.
Atleti are much better off then, are much better off now than they were then. God, Cani and Mario. Good Lord.
But they went to the final.
Yeah, they were very close to going to the semifinal that year if Arda Turan hadn't been an idiot.
No. Okay, never mind. Sorry, I was...
Yeah, that was confused. The year Real Madrid beat them in the quarterfinal.
Okay.
I'm still mad at Arda Turan.
Yeah, but he also threw a shoe at a ref, so that was fun.
That was cool, yeah. Less mad than I was 2 years ago, but... So... Chicharito was the guy who eliminated Atleti in the quarterfinal that year. He's now at Leverkusen, and he has been on a bit of a tear of late. He's got 10 goals in the Bundesliga now, all time against Atletico, 4 goals in 5.
Wow, I did not know that. That's a fantastic rate of return.
Yeah, it is. Not so great for Atletico, but good for him and his teams.
Yeah, I guess good for when he was at Real, probably one of the bright spots of when he was there. But Yeah, he didn't get off to that hot of a start this season, but two goals obviously on Friday, and now I think, I mean, he'll have some work to do picking up the slack for Shalhoub, who had been scoring those goals. But he, I mean, I don't know. He's not a player you'd traditionally think to cross to, but yeah, I don't know. He's pretty good at headers for his size, and can, I don't know. I'm still worried. Like, if I was a Leverkusen fan, I'd be worried about his size against the Atleti center backs. But he has, like you said, he's on a tear lately, 5 goals in his last 3 games, even though he missed the game 3 weeks ago against Hamburg.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But yeah, that one against Gladbach, the January 28th, that was his first goal since October 1st against Dortmund. So that was a huge goal book.
Yeah, he's getting hot at the right time, which isn't great news for Diego Simeone. Last time we checked in on this Leverkusen side, they played a really, really intense pressing game, a very frantic, frenetic pace, and Roger Schmidt, their coach, the architect of this, but he's been in hot water this season. Have Leverkusen made any effort that you've been able to discern? How many adjustments has Schmidt made, and is he still in hot water?
I mean, he's had to tinker because of some injuries, and because it wasn't going as well. But the press will say he's on the hot seat. I'm not sure how much he is. I mean, if they were to finish the season eighth, he might be. But really, they're still concerned with bringing through the youth and being profitable, which the Champions League obviously is a really big part of that. But losing Hakan is a big blow, and I don't know. I don't see him leaving the position at the end of the year. Pretty much under any circumstances of outside of finishing top half, which there's no way they should finish outside the top half.
No, I don't think so. But no, the style of football that he's brought about there is really kind of breathtaking. And Atletico 2 years ago really, really struggled with it in the first leg. They were not prepared for the kind of intensity that Leverkusen brought to that game in Germany, which is where the first leg is going to be held this time around. And Atletico got to be better prepared this time. The squad came out earlier today. We're recording this on Sunday. It came out earlier today. And good news and bad news, as is pretty much always the case with Atleti. The good news is that Jan Oblak is back after a 2-month layoff. He dislocated his shoulder against Villarreal a couple months ago. He's back a month ahead of schedule. He's been given the all clear, and it seems like he's going to start on Tuesday. So that's the good news. The bad news
that will be big for them.
The bad news is Diego Godin is out. He had suffered a groin injury against Barcelona a couple weeks back in the second leg of the Copa del Rey semi-final, and he is not in the squad. So it'll likely be the Savage and Lucas pairing again, which has been kind of bad. It's mostly been Savage being bad, but yeah, you'd much rather have Godin healthy and available, especially with Chicharito, who has such a good goal-scoring record against Atleti.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first-choice center-back pairing, which you want, so that's a little, I mean, obviously a little bit less than ideal, but I don't know, it's the back four is gonna all have to work hard, and so is the midfield, like you said, to match the pressing game and just to, yeah, I don't know, maybe open up passing lanes that aren't there normally just because of how Leverkusen will structure themselves. But yeah, I don't know, you're going on the road anyway, so I don't know how much you should make of Savage not being the best lately.
Yeah, it's been like
it's going to be tough anyway.
It is. It's been like almost 4 months where Savage has been really up and down. So I'm not counting on anything special. But Godin's out.
Juan Fran's still out. You don't think Jimenez will
play? He's fit. He might play. Yeah, he might. But he's been fit the last 2 weeks, and Simeone hasn't played him.
Yeah, that's true. So, maybe you would have liked a match under his belt, but still Saturday to Tuesday, then would be a quick turnaround.
Maybe he is saving him for Tuesday. I'll be optimistic that Jose Mal is going to start next. If he starts, I don't know who will partner him. Maybe it'll be Lucas. Lucas will be.
I don't know. Maybe Godin will be back fit for Barca.
That's the hope now. That I'm sure he's going to play next Sunday against Barcelona. I'm sure he's pretty close to fitness, but just not enough to where you'd risk him in this game.
Yeah, just to be on the bench anyway.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that'd be a big error. Like, you want to get a road goal, obviously, coming into this game. I mean, I guess, is that your opinion? You'd like a road goal, so like a 1-1 would be fine?
1-1 would be fine, yeah. 1-0 for Atletico would be awesome. 1-1, I'd still take 1-1 for sure, heading back to the Calderon. But away goal is pretty essential.
If you get more than two goals, it's okay if you lose 2-3.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, yeah, then 1-0 and it's true.
Yep. So,
or even 2-1, like, yeah. So, okay, that's what I thought, but just kind of wanted to judge your expectation.
Oh, yeah. A goal is going to be the most important thing in this game. But hopefully not shipping too many of them, right? Because you've got a potential court date for Lucas on Tuesday, as he was recently arrested for domestic abuse. So he may not play. He's in the squad, but it's kind of up in the air as to if he's actually going to play Tuesday. So it may be down to Jimenez and Savage. That may end up being the pairing on Tuesday. But at any rate, hopefully they don't... the hope is that Atletico won't ship any goals, if any, like they did 2 years ago. But they only got out of that game 1-0 and were able to go in the second leg on penalties.
Yeah, well, so far, I guess this is just the league form. At the Bayer Arena this season, there's been 36 goals scored, with 20 of them allowing 16 in 11 games, so
that's not great.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I was there when it was scoreless.
Of course you were. Just your luck, huh?
Yeah, basically. But yeah, like, the home form traditionally has been pretty good for them, and obviously it'll be sold out, 30,000 strong there. Usually they don't sell out during the week, but it is Champions League, so.
Yeah, Atletico's away form in La Liga this season, fourth in the form table in terms of going away, with 5 wins, 4 draws, 3 losses, and +8 goal difference. In the Champions League, they won 1-0 at PSV, they won 1-0 at Rostov, and they lost 1-0 at Bayern Munich in that game that at the very end of the group stage that didn't matter. So, yeah, that's actually a pretty good stat. That's not great for Leverkusen.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, at home, they drew Cesca 2-2, Spurs was 0-0, and then they beat Monaco 3-0, so 7 goals in 3 Champions League games.
Yeah, that 3-0 over Monaco looking more and more like an aberration, as Monaco just teams up.
Yeah, Monaco didn't need that game, and now they drew this weekend, but so did PSG.
Yeah, they're still
top.
I am excited for Monaco Man City. I'm really excited for that. That's going to be really juicy.
Oh, yeah, there's some good ones this round in Sevilla, Leicester, too. That'll be fun.
Depending on which Leicester we get. Okay, so how can Leverkusen...
Hopefully the bad Leicester, sorry.
Yeah. How can Leverkusen win this tie?
By keeping it tight, I think, and in defense. Like, even though it hasn't been the best season for Griezmann, he's someone who can... I mean, he can take a whole defense on himself and score.
He can, and he hasn't done that a whole lot. But
what?
He hasn't done that a whole lot, but he still can, despite kind of a disappointing season.
I still always think that he could have that ability for a superstar moment or something. And then Fernando Torres, he scored that goal the other week. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, pulled that out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, no one's even expected anything close to that for a few years from him, so that was still kind of special to see, because, you know, how do you defend against that?
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Correa hasn't been that great lately, so I think Benjamin Henrikx should be able to shut him down, and Carrasco will be against Henrik. Sorry, Correa should be able to be shut down by Wendel on the left back.
If Correa starts, I think he's going to be a sub, mostly.
Yeah.
Probably 20, 30-minute bursts.
But, yeah, I think the left wing might be something useful. I think Volland could start on the left, and him and Bendel on that wing are pretty dangerous. But yeah, Bellarabi will be starting on the right. I'm not sure if it'll be Havertz, but will be Chicharito up top. And I don't know, Volland maybe could play through the middle as well.
Yeah. I think for Leverkusen, it's going to be important to take advantage of what is potentially going to be a pretty inexperienced center-back pairing. And definitely not first choice in Jose Ma and Stefan Savic. No Godin, his leadership is just essential in these games, and he's not going to be there. No Onfron either, so the right side, if Shime Rusalko isn't playing well, the right side is going to be money for Leverkusen.
Yeah, your defensive right.
Yeah.
The attacking left. Yeah, no, I guess it will be Brent probably on the left. Huh. And, and then probably Volland centrally and Bellarabi right. That's what it will be. So, I think, like you said, with those center backs, set pieces will be important.
Yep.
And the average age of Leverkusen center backs last game was 23, so it's not like they're the most experienced guys ever either.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And Jose Mas 21 now? I think he's 22 now. And Savic is 25, so.
Yeah, same. Yedvai's 21, and Dragovic is 25.
Yeah, so same thing. If Leverkusen are able to control the midfield, I think this is the big thing. Atleti's midfield this season has been really not very solid. You've had Koke moving to the center, which has been a big topic of debate among Atletico fans for a few years now. Koke has moved to the center where he is at his best in terms of attacking, but it has left Atletico a little open, especially when Thiago hasn't played in 2 months. But if Koke is in the middle, then you're going to need a defensive winger or two to account for that openness with Gabby as the only other really truly defensive type of central midfielder. And with the injuries in defense, it hasn't made their lives any easier.
No, I'm sure it hasn't. And in central midfield for Leverkusen, Kevin Campbell is someone I think you really have to watch for. He's like hyper. He's always running everywhere. So he's someone you could just expect to see pop up really anywhere all over the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will probably be Lars Bender with him, or it could be Charles Arangues, who also will be able to maintain that press.
So for Leverkusen, we're looking at what, a 4-2-3-1 maybe?
It's kind of, yeah, 4-2-3-1, sorry.
Okay, yeah, then Atletico are going to be playing 4-4-2, likely with Griezmann and Torres.
Maybe it will be a 4-triple-2 with Volland and Chicharito up top, kind of, and then Brent and Bellarabi on the wings, and then Campbell Bender in that midfield kind of double six.
Yeah, I think in the first leg we'd be likely to see that. That's a pretty attacking setup, and at home in the first leg, I think that's a pretty good shout.
Decent counter against also probably what will be 4-4-2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be Griezmann and Torres up top for Atletico, likely. Simeone, as we've talked about before, likes to go to Torres in the big games. Although even after
Gamero's hat-trick?
With Gamero's hat-trick of the weekend, hopefully that decision becomes a little tougher for him. I'd like to see Gamero start this game. Maybe he does, because he scored that hat-trick. But my gut feeling says it's going to be Torres.
How long did Torres play? What minute was he taken off?
He was off after an hour.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so either way.
Yeah, Gamero played 30 minutes, Torres played 60, okay. So whoever's next to Griezmann's going to be rested, I think. In midfield, I think Koke is going to go back to the wing for this game. I'm thinking Gabby Saul in the middle with Koke and Carrasco on the flanks.
Yeah, well, I mean, Carrasco for sure, yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, last two games he's scored after about 2.5 months where he didn't really do a whole lot. Yeah, he didn't really do a whole lot, but he was great against Celta. He was pretty good against Sporting Gijón as well. So hopefully he would look to make it 3-from-3 in terms of goal scoring. Then at the back, it's going to be Rusalko and Felipe at right back and left back. I'm going to go with Josema and Savic as the center backs, and Oblak in goal, which is, oh, it's so great to say again.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, it's Moya. I mean, he's
like, good, I like Moya.
It's been a bad stretch for him.
Like, I like him. He's solid. He's really experienced, but he's not great. And Oblak is.
He's not someone you could win La Liga with.
No. That's
basically what it comes down to.
He's and someone you
Oblak
could.
He's, will always give you a chance.
He's someone you could probably get to Europa League with as your everyday keeper.
But not
win the Champions League, not get into the Champions League. Oblak is that guy. He's one of the best keepers on the continent. And it's, yeah, he's back a month early, which is remarkable. He wasn't supposed to be back before the second leg, not the first leg.
Yeah, so
that's fantastic that he's back.
That's lucky, but you also hope he's not being in rushed in too early.
Yeah, that's true. And he was given the all clear last week, returned to training, and so it seems like all systems go for him to start on Tuesday, which that's a huge boost, especially with Godin out. What else we got here? All right. What is going to be your first leg prediction then?
Yeah, really put me on the spot. I guess I should have saw this coming, but I don't know. I'll say 1-1.
1-1 seems fair. I'll go with.
It's boring, but 1-1.
I'm gonna go with 1-0 Atletico. I think we both agree they're gonna score, and whatever happens, as long as Atleti score, then I think it'll be good for the second leg. Got to get that away goal. That's crucial.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see Leverkusen being held scoreless at home, but let's see.
Yeah, you said obviously they have. Could happen. You said they've scored 20 times at home this season. How many games has that been?
10? Hold on. No, it must be 11. Sorry. Yeah, at home it's been 20 goals in 11 games.
Okay, yeah, they're averaging about 2 goals a game then. All right, I will amend. I will
scoreless at home twice, once in the draw and then once in defeat to Hoffenheim, 0-3.
I will amend my prediction to say 1-1. I will agree with you on the 1-1 prediction.
Okay. I don't know. I'm hoping it's like 2-2. That'd be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it would fit. It would be a game in which Atleti would suffer, so
not taking 2 goals home with it tied, though. Atleti definitely could grind a 0-0 at home if this leg finishes 2-2.
Yeah, definitely. So you're expecting more fireworks in the first leg than in the second.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Atleti have been kind of shaky at home at times this season, but you know,
that's true.
A chance to send the Calderon off right, if indeed the Calderon is being sent off after the season,
with the move to the stadium.
Yeah. Let's see what Atletico have done at home. Yeah, Atleti have scored 25. Let's see, doing some quick math here. They've scored 25 home goals in La Liga this season. 25 in 11 games. They beat Bayern 1-0 at home. They beat PSV 2-0, and they beat Rostov 2-1. So that's 30 goals.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Bayern score there, but yeah. Bayern also have struggled, so.
That's been, not against Arsenal, though.
No.
Not against Arsenal. Look damn good there.
Yeah.
That was
a funny day.
Both sides can score at home, so yeah, I'll back both to score on Tuesday then.
Yeah, cool. I think that'll be an exciting one. What, at is it 12:45 your time? It's
12:45 my time. Yeah, I'm going to be in class during this, so I won't be able to watch a whole lot of it.
Ooh, not going to pull it up on the browser.
I'm going to try my best to like stealth watch it. Yes, I do.
Yeah, put it on that.
I'm going to stealth watch it.
That Fox soccer to go.
All right, so yeah, we got that this week, and then Leicester and Sevilla. Where's the first leg of that?
I'm not sure.
Well, let's check here. It's at Sevilla. Okay, Sevilla are going to win that. Then Porto and Juve, and then City and Monaco. Much tastier than last week.
What did you say? Much easier?
But tastier than last week.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, Barcelona PSG was fun, but you know, fun in terms of Barcelona losing rather than it was actually a good game.
I mean, City Monaco's everything, though.
That's going to be just so great. There are so many goals.
Got a lot to look forward to. And then what, the return leg is of your match is not until March 15th.
Yeah, March 15th at the Calderon. So
yeah, so that's a ways away, really.
About a month-long wait, yeah. It's crazy how this thing is built up for 2 months, then they give you a little bit with the first leg, and then, oh, it's another month off.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Ugh, so annoying. All right, so for the tie in general, what are you going to predict for over two legs scoreline?
I think Atleti will go through by one goal margin.
One goal margin. I'm going to say, I'm being very optimistic here, and I know I'm going to regret this, Atleti by multiple goals.
Okay. That's pretty good. Like, yeah, I don't know.
You know, considering the round of 16, the last 2 years, I should know better. I really should, but, you know, I don't.
I don't know. There's always a chance you could throw four in a game.
Yeah, especially at home. Yeah. All right. What else we got, Jack?
I don't know. I think that's it.
Splendid. Well, if there's nothing else, then I'm going to start the sign-off message. I'll ask you to stick around for just a second after I get done with this, but I'd like to thank my guest, Jack Grimsey.
Yeah, thank
you. Well, if there's nothing else, then I will proceed with the sign-off message. Woohoo. I'd like to thank my guest, Jack Grimsey.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. It was a pleasure to be on Culture Narrow Chat.
It was great to have you on. It was my pleasure. You can follow Jack on Twitter at...
That's at Jack Grimsey. My last name, Grimsey, G-R-I-M-S-E. And you can like my Facebook page, same thing, facebook.com/Jack Grimsey.
Perfect. You can find me on Twitter at JB Barron. Follow me there. That's JBBEREN. You follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook and subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Culture Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find us on all those platforms. Leave a rating and review on iTunes. It would be great. And yeah, that's all for me. Adios.
Auf Wiedersehen.